Chapter 16, The Gift. The words Thomas McLean shun up at Rennie. Those words on that bracelet has caused so much unhappiness. Now, as she washed away the soil under the faucet, beads of water danced on them. It seemed to mean that something good would happen. But Rennie wasn't feeling sparkly. There was no telling what Julie would say, or Mr. or Mrs. McLean, for that matter. She'd already had enough good luck having escaped a licking. But maybe that wasn't luck. Maybe that was Mama forgiving. She polished the bracelet with a towel and placed it in the pocket of Rick's sweater. She stuck her hands in deeply for warmth, though the evening wasn't cold, and stepped into the clear night's air. One hand clutched the bracelet, the other held onto the inside of the sweater. Very slowly, she walked down the street trying to pick out her words. Maxie called. Hi, Rennie. She was skating down her walk as Rennie passed. She slid to a stop. How's your father? Maxie had a look of real interest in her face. Why? Rennie asked. He says he's okay, but he misses us. Rennie answered nicely. She was having trouble understanding why Maxie wanted to know. Sometimes my father talks about him. He didn't want to arrest him. He was only doing his job. Oh, it didn't make any sense. It's because of your father that I stopped in front of you that day. I guess I shouldn't be mad at you. That's okay. Maxie got a little more excited then and leaned close to Rennie. She spoke almost in a whisper. Hey, Rennie, I have a secret for you, but you can't tell anyone, especially not your mother, in case it doesn't turn out right. Daddy will kill me if he finds out I told. What? Rennie held her breath. They called up Daddy the other day and asked about the Italians he arrested. He told them he thought your father was a fine, fine person. He'd never do anything wrong. Maxie's face was bright with happiness. How come Rennie didn't feel the same? So, it means they might send your father home. Oh, joy erupted on Rennie's face. For real? Maybe, Maxie emphasized. Rennie's heart was pounding. She skipped along toward Julie's house. Things would be all right. Julie was sitting on her front porch playing with her cat. It probably meant Rennie wouldn't have to see Julie's parents, but she felt so good she didn't care. The low evening sun glanced off the side of Julie's face. She kept her eyes on the cat. Was she pretending she didn't know Rennie was there? Suddenly, Rennie's stomach swarmed with butterflies. She made herself brave and stopped at the end of Julie's walk. Julie looked up because she had to. What do you want? She asked finally. Everything turned cold. The sweat on Rennie's hand, the silver metal of the bracelet, the sound of Julie's voice. Without a word, Rennie held out the bracelet. Julie nearly dropped her cat. She jumped up. You had it? She accused. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. The words poured out of Rennie nearly 100 times. Julie's accusing look turned to joy. She grabbed the bracelet and brought it to her lips, turning it around and around, kissing it. It made Rennie smile, but in a minute, Julie stopped and gave Rennie a look like fire. You stole it. No, I didn't. It fell into my pocket. You had it on the edge of your desk, remember? And when you grabbed your sweater, you must have knocked it off. No, I don't remember, Julie insisted. And why didn't you give it back? I tried to, but you wouldn't talk to me. You told me I was rotten. You told me you hated me. She paused. The power of her words calmed her voice to sadness. And your father said the Italians should kill each other. And I hated you. The cat came and nuzzled against Julie's ankle. She sat down on the grass to cuddle it. She let her long blonde hair fall around the animal and didn't say anything. There was still a chance they might be friends. But I know how much you need it, so your brother won't get killed. Rennie waited, thinking about her own crop of short hair and how different she was from Julie. They used to enjoy being different. Now Julie kept nuzzling her cat. Rennie tightened her sweater around herself and turned to go. She was down the end of the street and around the corner. When Julie caught up with her, out of breath, she thrust a brown paper bag at Rennie. Here. It was the bottle of wine that Papa had given Mr. McLean. Rennie hugged it to her chest in terrible sadness. Julie said, "My father doesn't want it." "But it was a gift. You said you didn't want him to have it either, remember?" Her eyes are huge, round and flat like blue ice. Her hair is stretched out, ugly yellow, like a thousand whiskery ropes. "I'm a fire. I can melt and burn all that." She could push Julie onto her bottom and make the pain fly through her. For a few minutes longer, she let Julie glare at her while she remembered everything. Most especially, she remembered what she wanted. But was she brave enough? Yes, she was. "I know why you won't forgive me. But if you change your mind someday, I'll be your friend again." There, she could breathe. Julie's eyes turned surprised, then calm. She gave a very tiny, uncertain shrug before she walked away. Rennie walked to the bakery and stuck her nose against its window, peering inside. The picture of that terrible afternoon when Papa was arrested came back to her. The policeman pulling the pictures from the wall, Papa, with his frightened look, caressing her hair. "Ti amo, Renetta." "Ti amo, Papa," she whispered, tears rolling down her. She walked home. What would she do with the wine? She could never hurt Papa's feelings by letting him see it. She buried it in the bracelet hole. As she packed the soil tightly over it and stood up to brush the dirt from her hands, she said out loud, "That's the end of all the badness in me." She went around to her special plant. She hadn't been able to bear pulling off its tomatoes, and they still hung all over it, round and red and bright. It was all as tall as Rick and as welcoming as Mama. She sat in the dirt and looked up at it. "Please, please, bring home my Papa." She put her head in her hands and cried. After a long time, there were no tears left. She looked up at the plant again, feeling a little brighter. She stood up and turned toward the house. There, standing by the corner of the house, was a figure, kind of short and fat and jaunty. A small suitcase sat on the ground and his arms reached out. "Papa!" Rennie shouted with joy. "Renetta!" They ran and fell into each other's tightly. "Where are those quills?" Papa joked through eyes full of wetness. "I buried them, Papa." They hugged again without words.